Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Pros, just because something on the job runs out doesn't mean you have to. Order it on the Lowe's app. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get free same-day delivery on eligible orders over $25. Get the fasteners, hardware, or tools you need to keep the job moving. Order by 2 p.m. and get eligible in-stock items delivered right to your job site by 8 p.m. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to availability. Restrictions and terms at Lowe's.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
The Bert Show.
Hey, Bethany.
Hi there, guys.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm very anxious to get my name cleared.
Now, I'm curious if your boyfriend, if you told him about this, and he is listening right now also.
I did. I told him the situation's gotten out of hand. I think I found a way to actually put his mind at ease.
Okay, here's what you're listening for right now. This sound effect right here is the software, the voice analyzing software, picking up stress. This is what you'll hear. Okay? So in casual conversation, you're just going to hear there'll be nothing behind her voice.
And only Bert hears that.
And this is the lie detector picking up just like, I mean, it's the stress levels are way high, and this is what the lie detector interprets as a lie.
Okay.
So it's subtle.
So keep in mind, we're having a conversation, right, and I'm hearing all this stuff go on in my head. Mm-hmm. So from time to time, I'll hear this.
See, I'd be so distracted. Oh. Because if that happened, I'd start laughing or something.
I'd yell out, whoa!
Liar!
Laugh. It's like, what? Nothing. Don't worry about
it. It sounds almost like it should be sending a shock through the phone and zapping the person.
Okay, here you go.
My stepbrother and I are extremely close. And, my boyfriend met him and everything, but what my boyfriend didn't know and what I shared with him, before we were stepbrother and sister, he was actually my first French kiss. Shortly after that, I mean, like a year and a half or something, our parents...
Okay, can I comment on some of those?
Okay, let me pause it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, If it says it's picking up stress, mm-hmm, or elevated heart rate, mm-hmm, okay, I'm talking about my best friend in the world coming to visit me. Okay, I would think that, like, you'd get excited about anyone. Like, if it was, like, you know, your best friend, or, if, you know, if you had a good relationship with your parents or something like it, or, you know, if you're excited for someone, isn't that normal to have an elevated heartbeat? I don't think that is translating to stress.
I can't say one or the other, you know, why it's picking up the stress, but what you're saying makes sense to me, but it's not like the lie detector can tell me exactly what,
yeah,
what the
what
truth is and what's not, right?
Because to me, the whole situation and that there's a point of contention between your stepbrother and your boyfriend is stressful, and that's the whole reason you called us. So to me, these heartbeats aren't really that weird.
Call. Yeah, we got plenty
we're
more
over,
to go here.
We're okay. Overanalyzing the stress that comes, okay, from, like, I mean, she, that what if this is the last... What if this is the last heartbeat, or even what if we don't hear a buzzer during the entire call?
Right.
Then I don't think this is a big deal because she's obviously nervous at the beginning as we start to approach the topic.
Yeah, there are more important things in this call that you're going to want to address.
That's what
I was going through similar situations, and we were going through a lot. So basically that's what happened, but now it's just gotten totally blown out of proportion. So that's what's going on.
On the air, you told us that there are times where you go, and, I mean, he's your stepbrother, so you'll go to New York, and you'll meet up with him, and you guys will hang out for a weekend. Tell me a little bit about those weekends.
I guess it's, I mean, they're fun. I have a good time. I mean, of course, as a model, like, A, he has tons of beautiful friends, but B, you know, like, they like to party a lot, so we'll you know, we'll go out to bars, or they have, like, private events after shows, or else we'll go back to his, like, loft apartment, and we'll have drinks there and music. So it's basically just, like, hanging out. Usually nighttime it's, like, with a bunch of people, and then during the day, like, you know, we'll go and get brunch, or maybe we'll go walk around in a museum, or go to the park, you know. So during the day it's usually just us, and at night we're always hanging around a bunch of people. So, like, at night, we're not really alone together. It's just, like, during the day.
When you've been at his loft, has anything outside of simply being a stepbrother and stepsister, has it ever been escalated to anything other than that?
No. I mean, like, you know, like, if you see your brother or your sister or mother, like, you'll give them a kiss on the cheek, or, like, you know, if, you know, before I go to bed, like, you know, give him a little kiss on his forehead or something. But it's not like sexual or anything. It's just completely normal mother sister type.
Okay, can we stop?
Yes, we can.
I have no idea why that would say that's a lie. It is absolutely not. All we do, like I said, like before bed, it'll be a hug, a kiss on the cheek, like nothing else happens with that. And I mean, the only thing I can think of why that would say it was a lie is because I don't know, maybe nervous, or, you know, I mean, I'm definitely nervous now. My boyfriend's listening to this, and this is just not true. I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you what it's the stress and what it's picking up, and where the lie detector is saying that there's not 100% truth coming out of you. Let's go on with it.
As you're talking, I can hear the lie detector. It indicates to me with sound effects if you're stressed out or not. And immediately when you said that you guys have been hanging out at the loft, it registered some stress. And then it's also indicating when you're talking about just hanging out and nothing sexual going on, that it's registering stress and it's also registering some lies. So is there anything that you can think of that's happened in that loft that's been even a little bit outside of a brother and sister relationship?
I'm telling you, like, I don't know why it would register. Maybe it's registering stress because I'm so, like, nothing is happening. I think what stresses me out is that I know nothing has happened that is inappropriate.
As an adult, do you have any kind of attraction or sexual feelings towards your brother-in-law at all?
You mean my stepbrother?
Yeah, your stepbrother, I'm sorry.
No. No, and that's like, the whole point is that, I love...
Okay, can we stop it there?
I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea.
God, that buzz is so, it's like, that's a bucket of water.
That's hard to avoid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's consistently showing stress and consistently showing lies in that one area.
I think it is, because that's the point that I get most, you know, upset about, is because this is the whole issue that people are just pushing this, like, you know, I'm making out with him, like, things are going on, and I'm so adamantly not, and maybe that's why it's coming up.
There's still about a minute and a half left of the call, so let's just continue on, and then we can debate it afterwards.
They're just, like, totally different. You know, I love my stepbrother. I care for him. You know, I want the best for him. He's basically, like, my best friend. You know, I love him. But, you know, I'm related to him. You know, I don't want to, you know, I would never, like, pursue any romantic relationship with him at all.
So if you were going to summarize and you were going to, like, speak right to your boyfriend and you were going to tell him and try to alleviate his fears about you and your stepbrother, what exactly do you want him to know?
I guess I would say, honey, I'd say, honey, there is nothing to worry about. My stepbrother is someone who's very important to me. We grew up during some of the hardest times in our life, and I love him. I care about him.
but I also love and care deeply about you. I would never hurt you. I wouldn't cheat on you. I would never do anything to jeopardize our relationship. It just so happens I have a very, very close friendship and kinship and bond with my stepbrother. And I'm not going to break that, though, and I don't want to have to apologize for that. I just want you to understand that I am faithful. I guess that's what I want to say.
All right, so bottom line is your boyfriend has zero to worry about, and it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. That's, yes, 100% yes.
All right, before we take the calls and before you feel like you need to defend yourself, especially because your boyfriend is still listening, Jeff, why don't you tell her the accuracy rate that the software picked up on?
And it's not so much where it's, you know, the percentage of lying. I think it's where the lying was, because those buzzers went off in some dangerous places. But it said you're 63% honest, which means you're 37% less than honest, which means that about one-third of the time during that phone call, you showed enough stress that the computer thought you were not truthful.
I think just like you said, it showed stress, okay, which, you know, set off a buzzer. But all I got to say is it was just stress. It's a stressful situation to constantly have to, you know, try to convince people that you're not lying when absolutely in your heart you know you're telling the truth.
Look, I'm not saying one way or the other that that's not true, but I think when you set up polygraphs or with this software – the computer knows that. So that's why we had that two-minute conversation in the very beginning, so it could pick up on those stress levels, your normal stress levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a really great argument.
I guess, I mean, for me, because some of the – and I know that in this conversation you were defending him and defending your relationship with him, it's your brother, it's your best friend. But I feel like if you're doing that all the time with your boyfriend, it just so comes across that – you know, you're defending him more, that he means so much more to you than your boyfriend does. So that's where I think your boyfriend probably from the beginning started being like, well, dude, I mean, I wish you'd talk about me the same way you're talking about him. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that it's just your language about your stepbrother. I mean, it's cool that you're that close. But I mean, if you have a boyfriend, I think because he's a guy, I think your boyfriend's threatened by that.
But still, it's family. I would choose my family over a jealous boyfriend any
sure.
day.
Yeah, I mean, I said this Friday, too.
You
like,
know?
If this is the case and he's that jealous, I just think that there's something there where it's just not normal for a guy to be jealous of another. It doesn't even matter if he's a stepbrother anyway. Let's say, even if this guy was just a friend, it happened 11 years ago or more than that. It happened when he was 11 years old. It just...
I think this has got to mean something, right, that... You know, I did call in. I did want to make the effort to prove to my boyfriend that I wasn't lying. I mean, there's no reason that, you know, why would I call up and then be like, hey, you know, I'm telling the truth, and just to have my boyfriend listen to purposely tell lies.
Do you think your stepbrother will go on the lie detector with Bert?
No.
Why not?
Would you be willing to ask him? Because if his comes across crystal clear, then we could justify it just as nervousness. But
I mean, I think he would be a little kind of like I am. Like I think he would be kind of amazed. No, I think he would be amazed that anyone would have to ask him, because I think he would think it was as absurd as, you know, I do with that. Because, you know, what is he going to justify? I mean,
will you call him today and just ask him if he wants to go on it? Because if he wants to go on it,
then Bert would call him after the show, same way he did it with you, after the show tomorrow, and then we would play it for you and your boyfriend on Wednesday.
Well, I mean, we'll make the offer to you. If you want to ask your stepbrother if he wants to come on later on today, then I'll put him on it also. And if you think that would help, great. If you think it'll hurt your case, then don't do it. But at this point, I don't know how it could hurt.
I don't have anything to hide, so yeah, I can give him a call.
Okay, I'll call you after the show, and we'll see if we can put it together.
All right, sounds good.
Bye-bye.
The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Laura, good morning.
You're tomorrow at 8:15.
Oh, my God. You need to call a favor in Atlanta. Will you get an expert on to teach people how to drive? I am not kidding. You got that restaurant guy on, talks about bad restaurants. How about somebody getting on and talking about people who can't drive?
Right.
People in the left lane should be going faster than the people in the right lane.
Yes. Agreed.
They can go over the speed limit. Out of every 12 cars, somebody's on a device. If you're on a device, you're not driving. You're paying. Oh, I'm so mad you don't know.
Okay. What are you late to?
Work, thank you. But I'm late to work all the time, so they know it. Because I drive freaking 12, 20 miles my job. Anyway.
What is it that we can provide for you? Just looking for an avenue
get
to vent right now?
Get somebody people will believe who will sit there and tell people the rules of the road. Whatever it is, because honestly, Atlanta doesn't know what they are anymore.
I get on
pre industrial, and the left lane is now the slow lane.
I speak
I don't
her
language. Understand it.
She's talking right to me. I totally am. I love this woman. I think I really think I'm in love with this woman.
I had a woman in the left lane texting with two hands yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And she jutted into the right lane and then jutted back. I'm like, are you crazy? And women putting on makeup. This is not just a guy thing. I saw a man eating a bowl of cereal. This has got to stop. I want to make signs. I want to shove them in people's face when I drive. I don't know what to do for. It's like, I know I'm not the only one feeling this way, so please get somebody.
Do you feel any better right now?
I will when I get to work and I don't get yelled at.
You sound like you're a little bit more relieved now.
Let me ask you a few questions.
Get somebody on who will talk to everybody.
I just want to ask you a few questions, and I don't want you to get mad.
Okay.
She's already
What time are you due in the office?
In 6 minutes.
What time did you leave your house?
40 minutes prior to that, so 20 after.
Okay. And is that what time you leave every morning?
People were going 5 miles under the speed limit.
Okay,
yes,
I'm just asking.
I do.
Okay, you leave at that time every morning, but you say that you're late all the time.
No, well,
she's already angry, Jim.
I'm just asking. Don't drive fast.
I'm just asking some exploratory questions.
No, I'm not late every single day, no.
Okay.
And on a good day, it's great. It's actually a 16-minute commute, no traffic, all green.
Okay,
it's a 30-minute commute when everybody drives like a normal human being.
Speed
and then it
scared.
Just drags on. And not just that, I get on the highway. Mm-hmm. And then you get everybody who can't drive on the highway.
I think this is the kind of call that you just need to allow them to speak.
Yes.
They don't need to be debated or challenged. She is looking for us for some relief.
Well, I also work 12-hour days, so I don't want to spend an hour getting to work and be there a half hour early just when everything's right.
Just unload, darling. Go ahead. Keep going if you need to.
No, I just honestly get an expert. You need to call out to your listeners or get somebody that you can think of or anybody who knows how to drive. We need to be educated. I'm sorry. When you get a license in Atlanta, you need more education than this. When you go for your little driving classes and stuff like that, it's bad enough we get the kids on the road. You know, I want everybody to know how to the basic rules, but when it comes to driving for commutes, people need to understand the courtesies and basic rules of the road.
Mm-hmm. Laura, let me start a support group for you, because here's Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Thank you.
How y'all doing today?
All right.
Good.
Will you speak to Laura, please? Tell her you feel her pain.
Yeah.
Laura, I feel your pain. I am a local truck driver.
Thank you. I know you guys understand.
I don't know what people are thinking when they're on the road. They're texting. They're eating. They're doing their makeup. They're, I mean, just stupid.
Slamming on brakes. I mean, it's like, hello, no signals. Oh, it's like.
And I think even if you're going the speed limit, you need to get out of the left lane.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Like, that's for people who want
to
speed.
Passing lane. Yes. The left lane is the passing
because
lane.
That will be probably one of the number one reasons cause a deadly wreck, because people who know how to drive, that are confident driving, will try to get around you by passing on the left on the right, and that's no good.
And even if you have that attitude, let's say you're cruising along at 75 or 80 miles an hour, okay?
And that's fine.
Let's say you are, and there's somebody behind you that wants to go 90.
I move out of the way.
I still think you got to get out of the way.
I've seen some people
with an attitude. I'm already going 75.
And there's always going to be somebody who can drive better or more quickly and more confidently than I can. So I will move out of the way. And I understand that. And I put two hands on the wheel, and I focus forward or look in my rearview mirrors. I'm not so distracted that I end up in the other lane and don't even know it and have to get honked at to move back over.
You feel better? You feel a little bit better now?
A little bit. I got technically another 8 minutes before I can actually get to work, because I know exactly where I'm at. And I will be calm by then. So.
Okay. Whew. So long as we could help a little bit.
Oh,
there for
but
you.
Get somebody on. I'm not kidding. Here's a guy going 90. Cool.
The Burt Show.
On Friday, we asked you guys if you were going into the weekend and it was potentially a life-changing weekend. And we took two pretty intriguing calls. One was from a Burt Show listener that was auditioning for a...
It's like a majorette type thing. Majorette dance thing.
I don't know what that means, major.
I don't either.
Okay.
I think that's what she said.
It was some kind of audition, musical dance audition. And she said going into the weekend, if she didn't get this one, she was going to go on a completely different career path.
Oh.
It was just time for her to make, like, this was her breaking point here.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was another Burt Show listener we have to talk to who has been married but has been lying about it to her parents this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to tell her parents this weekend that, yeah, I'm already married. Because they were all planning the wedding together and stuff.
They had eloped and the wedding was coming up. And for some reason, I mean, she was saying that her family was deeply religious and that's one of the reasons they would have a problem with it. But I guess that she and her husband didn't want to, have to not live as husband and wife. You know, they had to be very conservative and act like they couldn't sleep together and they couldn't, you know, whatever. So I don't know what it was this weekend, but for some reason they were going to crack and go ahead and tell them. And she was afraid that would ruin the wedding plans by doing it.
Mm.
I was going to do that in a couple of minutes, but actually Mary's on the phone right now to talk to us about it. And this one is the lying about marriage call that we took. Hey, Mary, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are y'all? I'm
trying to interpret exactly what might have happened this weekend based on just you saying hi.
Well, I mean, his family's good. Like they're okay with it. Actually, they're pretty excited. Mine, not so much. I mean, they're okay that, you know, of the man that I married, obviously, because we were going to get married anyway.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have decided not to pay for the wedding at all and put that money towards, I don't know, whatever they've got going on right now. This was not, because I know my parents, this was a big deal, and so, but my fiance and I husband, I guess, is what you could call him now, we're going to have to pay for it ourselves, and obviously we're young, and I'm not really sure how this is going to work, because we do not have the money for a wedding.
Okay.
It wasn't going to be that expensive to begin with, but still a couple $1,000s, and we just don't have it.
All right, we have to reset this here real quick because there's some details that I'm unclear on. So you guys, you went, you eloped, you got married, and then you were planning this sort of second wedding, and your parents were going to pay for this.
Yes.
And you were going to try to keep up the whole ruse that you guys weren't married. So when you told them this weekend, was it like in your living room and you're sitting down, and do you say, look, I've got some big news I need to tell you about, because they're thinking you're pregnant? And
they were thinking, because I told them that it wasn't necessarily really bad, but it wasn't really good either. And so they're, you know, because we are young and we're both trying to settle our careers right now and everything. And so that's what they were thinking. They were thinking that I was pregnant. But they were both shocked. They're adjusting to it. They're okay. It's just, they're not going to pay for our traditional wedding, and we still want that. You know, we want that celebration with everybody and our friends and family there. We still want that. But I don't really know what to do at this point because we're not going to be able to afford to really do much of anything. I mean,
I'm curious, in a case like this, do your parents actually get more or angrier at your husband than they do you? Because you're the little girl. That's our little girl. But he should know better than that.
Well, I've always kind of been, I've always, you know, made straight A's in school, done all the good stuff. You know, as far as that, I don't drink or do drugs or anything like that. But I am rebellious. I'm really, really, really independent. I moved out when I was 16, and I've lived on my own since then. So they don't really look at me as their, you know, little girl. They haven't in a long time because I did move out a long time ago. So it's about equal, really. And they've known my husband for around 6 years now. So they're as equally as, you know, I guess disappointed. They just took it as as it was against them that we did this and kept it a secret. And everybody else is actually pretty excited about it.
So they took it more personally than anybody else did.
They did, yeah.
I can understand that. I mean, I guess because I'm confused on if you've already got a wedding planned, why go elope? But, I mean, I could see from their point of view they wanted to experience it for the first time. And it just seemed, I don't know. I could see where they're coming from.
You're the youngest child, aren't you?
Oh, no, I'm the oldest.
Here's a basic question I don't think we ever asked. Hey, Sarah, good morning.
Hey. I just want to know why she eloped anyway.
Yeah,
if they're still wanting to plan the whole wedding.
Yeah, why'd you elope?
What was the point of that?
We just didn't want to wait to be married. We actually got married very, very, very soon after we got engaged, like a week and a half or 2 weeks. It was just kind of like a random, we're both really spontaneous. We didn't want to wait for 5 months or 6 months for our wedding to be, you know, complete. And we didn't even know if we were going to be able to plan it.
Mm.
We had planned it for a certain date, but then things kept getting pushed off. We both work, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week. We were just like, you know, we don't even know if we're going to be able to pull this thing off. And that was when we had the money that my parents were going to give us. And so we were just like, you know what? We want that. We want to be married. We want to be able to just have that bond. And we couldn't wait.
Do you mind my asking how old you guys are?
I'm 21. He's 22.
Okay.
Why does that make
a
difference?
Because I wondered if...
Because love is urgent when you're 21 and 22.
Because all you have to do is wait 6 months.
Exactly. And then I wondered if, you know, you wanted to go ahead and have the physical life together and you felt more comfortable doing that, going ahead and getting married.
That as well. That played a part in it, obviously, because our families did raise us in a religious background, religious manner. And we both, you know, we do our devotionals together. We read the Bible together. We actually have this, not necessarily a marriage counselor, but this woman who is pretty close to his family, and she's just incredible. She's amazing. And so we talk to her every now and then, too, just about what's going on with our lives and this whole situation that we've been going through, and she's just awesome. So we do have that. We wanted to stay away from each other physically until we got married, and that's really difficult.
And 21, 22.
Especially since we've known each other for so long. It was just... It's difficult.
Hey, Kay, go ahead. You're part of the Brit
Show. Not trying to whine, not trying to be mean about it, but they made the decision to elope. She doesn't get to whine about not having the money. And that's just kind of all there is to it. You made an adult decision, so you got to kind of go through with all the consequences. I understand where her parents are coming from.
Yeah, you only had to wait 6 months. I think that's why you're starting to see the tide start to change here a little bit.
And that's why I asked how old she was, because I agree with Jen. Everything has to be done now. You know,
it's just more urgent.
Yeah.
That's why nobody should get married until they're 28. Mary, I appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Okay, yeah, no problem, guys.
And good luck and congratulations.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks.
And bye-bye. All right, and this was Katie from, this is Ashley from Friday's show.
My mom and I are driving down to Valdosta, and I'm auditioning for a dance major. So this kind of is determining what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So I'm pretty nervous.
Now, why is it the rest of your life? I mean, why is it this one audition holds so much?
If I don't get in, I'm sure, hopefully I will. But if I don't, then I'm going to be an education major. So it just kind of determines which one I'm going to do.
So there, she's putting a lot of pressure on herself right there. This is it.
Mm-hmm. One audition and out.
Yeah.
Oof.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I am wonderful, actually. It turned out to be probably the best audition I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
So did you get the part that you wanted, or are you still waiting to find out?
Well, that's the part I'm not looking forward to. I have to wait 2 weeks.
Okay.
To find out. So a long wait, but it went really well, and I had to do a solo, and I wish Jeff was there because I wanted to tell him I was going to do an interpretive dance, but I didn't have time to set one, so... I just thought that was funny with the ribbons and everything. I was going to.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That was my. Well, it's actually mine and Jeff's dance.
Oh,
okay. Don't
right.
get it
that's
wrong.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm
don't
sorry.
Rob her of that opportunity.
Don't rob me of my ribbon on the stick.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Well, here's but, what I here's what I like about this whole story here. Even if you don't get the part, what you just told us was it was the best audition that you ever had. So mm-hmm. as far as you're concerned, you hit it out of the park. And if you didn't get the part, at least you can say, you know what? It's a sure, clear sign that that's not what I'm meant to do.
Exactly. And I have no regrets from it, which is really good.
So. And you have what?
I have no regrets. And I'm usually really picky on myself, you know, really critical and everything. So I was proud of myself, actually.
Great.
How
good.
I did, so.
Couldn't you also say, though, if she felt like she had the best audition of her life, that this is the path she should take regardless of whether she gets this part or not?
Well, there's a history here, too, right, where that has led you up to finally saying, look, it's either this way or that way.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's been a long road of a lot of different stuff for me with dance. And, you know, there's been plenty of times where I've wanted to just give it up completely. But this is really my last shot to, you know, study it fully through college and everything. So.
You gave your best, but now you have clarity that some of the best in the industry just told me it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you can either use that for motivation or you can use it as a sign like I'm just spinning my wheels here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that some of the most successful people in the world have been told they couldn't do it for a really, really long time. You know, you'll hear that from mm-hmm. actors and actresses.
It's
you know
a good
what
point,
I mean?
But I think there is some – the line is different with everybody. But I think at one point you have to take a look and just go – that's just not me. It's what I want me to be, but I just don't.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think that's the person has to ask themselves the hard question about what they're really passionate about. Because if it's somebody that wants to do it because you get fame and fortune from it, I don't think that's your passion.
No, no, no.
You know, I can tell from you. Yeah, I can tell from you that dancing is your passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you were able to do that the rest of your life, make a living, but still just be able to do that and pay your bills, then that's your passion. You know,
right. Well, for me, actually, after the audition, one of the directors came up to me, and she talked to me for about an hour trying to convince me to come to the school. So I think there's a chance that I got it. I'm pretty confident in how I did.
That's great.
And,
yeah.
That's awesome. I really think that's great.
That is so cool.
Mimi, you're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, guys. I just want to say that, you know, even if she doesn't make it, she should still have hope because she's still young. I think she's probably about to start college or going to college. And Michael Jordan was cut from his mm-hmm. JV basketball mm-hmm. team in high school. So, I mean, what if he would have just let that be the end of his road?
Yeah, there are a million stories like
you
this.
You have like one, too.
Yeah, I mean, a general manager at one point told me that, look, this is not for you. You are never going to be the host of a show. This is just not where your talent lies.
Oh, really?
You're never going to be good at this, which I actually agree with.
That's
because I have a show. Doesn't mean I'm good at it.
Hold down. But, you know, had you listened to that
yeah.
and let that knock you down, you wouldn't have the show today.
Yeah, you
so.
Can either let it motivate you or you sort of crumble from it. Look, Colonel Sanders, I think, went around the country and he got turned down like 1,200 times
mm-hmm.
before somebody gave him some money. I think Abraham Lincoln, like, lost election after local election and then he lost in the Senate also time and time again. And he kept going and he's looked upon now in history as one of the best presidents ever.
Right,
so.
You know, and Katie and I have had this discussion too about, you know, we judge people who ended up being successful as being this courageous person. And then if we looked at somebody that tried and tried and always failed and never succeeded, then we'd look at them as foolish. So,
I don't know where the line is.
But the thing is, I think you do have to ask yourself the question, is it really your passion
mm-hmm.
or are you just doing it to impress other people?
Hey, Ashley, will you call us back in a couple of weeks when you know for sure if you got the part or not?
Absolutely. I definitely will.
That'd be great. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Jeff. Which line do you want me to pick up?
Chris is on the hotline and Julie's on the warm line.
Hey, how are you guys?
No complaints other than missing something.
Yeah, we got to know the history of how this all happened before we even get into where the diamond is.
This is a family heirloom. It was, I think, Chris's great-grandmother's ring. It's from the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
Which is why I am just so upset about this, because that's something that I was looking at handing down to my kids and having them hand down to their children. So. Mm-hmm.
And it's not a situation where you kind of jimmied it loose in hopes of getting something a little newer and more trendy.
No, not at all.
At that point, you're jogging and it pops out?
We went for a 13-mile run.
Ugh.
Okay.
I hope you've learned not to do that again.
Yes.
Maybe that's a lesson to be learned from this. But we went for a 13-mile run, and had it happened anywhere in the middle of run, we would have at least known the vicinity that it was in, but it wasn't until the very end of the run and we were stretching that Chris noticed that it was gone.
What happens when you notice that? Like,
it's like looking at your wife and her front tooth fell out.
So who notices? Chris, you notice that?
Yeah, as we were stretching, I looked down and I was like, holy cow, that is not good. And I was like, Julie, your ring. And then at that point, it's like, okay, now where do we start looking? I mean, the good part about it is even though it was 13 miles, it was an out and back, and we did do a couple loops along the Columns Drive area. I sent Jeff the actual map to the area that we covered. But still, you know, it's a diamond literally in the rough, you know?
Now, you said that, I mean, there's sentimental value with this thing also. So are you on here saying, look, go ahead and take the ring? I mean, if you find it, it's yours? Or are you saying we'll give you $17,000 if you find it for us?
I would love to have that diamond back.
So you would buy the ring back, you would buy the stone back from somebody who found it?
I think I would like to do that, yes.
This sounds like
Because like I said, this is from the 1800s, that it's been in Chris's family, and I just don't know if you can really put any value on that.
Sounds like we're not on the same page.
Yeah,
though.
Chris.
Exactly.
Chris's family, though.
Yeah, Chris, where are you with all that?
It's a lot of money. I mean, we got the insurance check, and so my first inclination was like, cubic zirconium. You know, like, let's replace this thing with... But let me pocket the 17 grand, and then we'll just throw something that looks like a diamond in there. But obviously, you know, we're not going to do that. My brother was like, dude, Chris, pocket the money, pay off your debt. But,
go on vacation.
Right. Okay, so if you're the person lucky enough really to win the golden ticket out of the Wonka bar here, you can do anything. I mean, you could keep the ring for yourself, the diamond for yourself, or you can get in touch with Jeff, and then maybe you can have some negotiations going on. But that's a decision that you can make if you find the ring. So really what we got to do is get out what's important here. And that 4 mile stretch you're talking about, give us solid details on exactly where that is.
It was at the Chattahoochee River Trail off of Interstate North Parkway. And it's the trail that connects with Columns Drive. Mm-hmm. It's a 3.1 mile loop, and then it attaches or connects to Columns Drive, which is about a 2 mile, 2.5 mile stretch.
You guys ran 13 miles, so you did that loop a couple times.
Yes, so that's the good thing.
There's already a lot of athletes along this route.
Mm-hmm. And slow their pace down today.
I was going to say, so I'm curious if when people are driving up and down Columns Drive and they see like three times the amount of athletes and some that probably don't look like they've been athletic a day in their life, they're going to wonder what's going on.
You know what would be so unjust about this whole thing? Because if you jog or you drive down that road, it's the most massive homes, if it's the road that I think it is. It's the most massive, beautiful homes that you can see in Atlanta. I call it Motivation Row. When you drive down there and you see all those houses, wouldn't it be unjust if somebody in one of those houses just happened to be taking a stroll one day that already has all that cash, finds the diamond?
What is that shiny thing in the front yard?
All right, so let's be very clear on exactly where this is one more time, you guys.
It's the Chattahoochee Park, right off of Interstate Parkway. There's a park on both sides of the Chattahoochee, but it's the one that connects with Columns Drive.
And that's considered Marietta.
Yes.
All right. And what Jeff has done is he's actually put a map up online right now, and it's there for you guys to check out. So if it's unclear to you exactly where it is, just go to Q100Atlanta.com, and you'll see it right there.
He brought up the fact that, you know, it has been raining a whole lot, too. So
yeah.
It may make it easier.
May make it harder.
Good morning, Q100.
What side of the trail were you guys running on, and on Columns Drive?
We were on both sides because we ran out down on one side and back on the other.
Okay, so that's a very large trail to be getting in both sides to look for.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
You are telling me.
It's not going to
be. I mean, if it was easy to find, they would have done that already.
Right.
Yeah.
Good morning, Q100.
Hey, how many carats is the diamond?
Just under 2 carats. I mean, if you look at the diamond itself, like, you're not going to be just like, oh, my gosh, that thing's huge. It's just the cut is a cushion cut, so it's very short and very fat.
We have pictures. We have a before and after picture, and I have to tell you.
God, that's so heartbreaking.
The after picture, seeing the ring on her hand with the big hole in the middle, is a little bit. Here, I'll pull it up.
Is
now.
It a little?
No, I'll
it's throw a little.
Up
it's
you.
A little gut wrenching.
So
it's like.
Sad. Oh. Do you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it?
Well, I have a little tiny ring on that finger right now, and there are several times during the day that I'm just like, I panic because I'm like, oh my gosh, where's my ring? And then I realize what happened to it, and it's like a cycle that I go through several times a day.
Jen's looking at the picture online right now. Of, with the ring with the
just hole in the middle of it.
It's the wind just got knocked out of me.
Sad.
All right, so well,
that's actually what she felt. She felt wind on her finger, and she's like, wait a second, I'm not supposed to feel that right here. What's going on?
All right, so that ring is still out there, and we've got a map to sort of its whereabouts, and you could see the ring, the diamond, and the diamondless ring. I mean, if you find it, you got a couple of things you can do with it. Either you could take the cash yourself, or you can get in touch with Jeff, and Jeff will get in touch with his friends, and maybe you guys can negotiate.
Maybe
they're
going to
be people.
It.
The people that live in those mansions that are driving out today and see all these people just stopping and looking around and looking down. What's going on?
Because you know those people aren't listening to this show.
You know what will happen? What will happen is those people will call the police on the people that are sitting there just loitering around Columns Drive today.
But I mean, it's a classical station right now.
Yes.
Seriously, if it's a situation where you take your dog out for a walk every day, head over there.
I mean,
what
for sure?
What do you have to lose?
Right.
Take that if you're gonna spend an hour walking your dog, make 17 grand maybe.
Too bad you can't have a sniffing dog, like, sniff that setting.
Sniff the diamond?
No, sniff her setting.
Yeah.
And see if they can't, if there's not a same scent on that diamond.
Look, Melissa wants 17 grand.
That's right. Look at you getting all CSI.
That's right.
You're going to be doing that with Katie Joe's dog. Sniff!
No.
Sniff,
she'll get distracted by a bird and run away.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot for joining us. And with any luck at all, the person that finds it will call you guys, and somehow, some way, they'll negotiate, and you'll get that ring back.
Awesome.
All right. All right. Thanks for your help.
Good luck.
This is The Burt Show.
Hi there. We are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.